Good morning. Morning.
Morning, Chair.
Oh, I'm finally in. Yo, the struggle is my life, honorable members. I must complain now to you. This thing,
And Chair, they're putting in a dark corner when it's daylight.
Hey, hi, yazi we ngoba andinamthetheleli we
No, where is your shop steward, Nona? Nona is your shop steward. There's nowhere to be found.
udlala kwa Jerusalem, we udlala kwa Jerusalem. Don't do that to Jerusalem, please. So I'm trying to get light. I don't know where will I get light, but I'm trying to get light. I'm delusional. Very bad.
No, it's fine now, Chair. You are very bright and beautiful now.
Bright and beautiful. Am I bright?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, it's fine. Fine. We. Good morning, honorable members. I'm now sitting outside in a cold because I want to see everyone who is in the meeting, and everyone in the meeting must see me as well. Let me take this opportunity, honorable members, and welcome all of you to our portfolio committee meeting on international relations, and members of the public who are with us or have joined our meeting today. Manthathe elithuba nabo ndibabulise. It's been a long time since we met because of other commitments that honorable members might have had. We have not been in touch, honorable members, whether it's telephonically or otherwise. Let me appreciate this opportunity that brings us together. Let me take this opportunity also and welcome officials from the department. Led by the DG of the department, and also I have not seen the minister and the deputy ministers if they are here. Let me also welcome them to our meeting. Basically, honorable members, the meeting today, we all got the agenda before us, the briefing by the department is what we are going to receive, and the agenda generally is before us. In an event where honorable members and everyone else who is in the meeting has no agenda items, I'm going to request that the agenda be flighted on the screen for the benefit of everyone who is in the meeting. We're going to allow Mr. Sigwela to present the apologies to our meeting for the adoption. So, Honorable Sigwela, over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, we have four apologies, Chairperson. The first one is from the minister who's attending the NCC meeting. And the second one is from Deputy Minister Potes, who's conducting an interview on global dialogue on international relations policy. And then the third one from Honorable Mbula, who's attending public hearings on gender-based violence. And the last one is from... Honorable Mowela is attending Peace on Home Affairs. He'll be joining us later. And then DM Sheko Dlamini, she's also unable to attend due to other commitments. Thank you, Chair.
What would be other commitments?
I did not get the details, Chair. However, I will inquire from the Deputy Minister's office, Chair.
Okay. Honorable members, I see a hand up of Honorable Benny Swartz. Is that a point of order?
No, Chair. I just want to comment, Chair, on these apologies, Chair, that it seems like during our PCs or the ministry, deputy ministers and the minister is never here. So I also just want to reiterate that if other commitment is not told to us, it's a problem, Chair, because one of the deputy ministers should be the year or the minister, because we can't keep on having committee meetings where the minister is not here and when we are talking crucial issues of the department. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Point taken, noted, and registered. Honorable Mbanza, I see your hand is up.
Yes, Chair. It is. I think in addition to what Honorable Swart is saying, I will ask the Chair on behalf of the committee to raise this concern with the Minister. We agreed that at least one of the ministers, whether it's a minister or the deputy, they must be in the committee. We can't have all the ministers not in the committee. So I think I will ask the chair to raise this concern with the minister.
Point taken, honorable members. Our responsibility is to do oversight as the portfolio committee, take decisions and implement them, and that has to happen with or without them. So we must just appreciate that power and that responsibility that we have vested in us by Parliament of the Republic of South Africa. Honorable members, can you move for the adoption of the agenda? Honorable Ngosi, I see your hand is up.
Yes, Chair, I move for the adoption of the agenda.
Thank you very much. Before we continue with our meeting, I want to urge all participants in the meeting to rename their gadgets and the rules of the meeting. They've been tabled long ago for the benefit of those who might be joining us for the first time in our meeting since virtual and the challenges posed to us by coronavirus. I want to urge iPad rename 011271. Rename your gadget, otherwise I'm going to remove you from the meeting. And all these other gadgets which have no names, they must be renamed. We want to know everyone who is in the meeting. Galaxy Note 10 Plus, rename your gadget. All of you, please rename your gadgets. We must know who is in the meeting. It's very important. Also for the register and the roll call to know who is in the meeting over and above the presence of those that we know from
Hello?
The department and also from those who are members of parliament and our committee staff. We must know everyone who is in the meeting. 0112135, what, who are you? Before I remove you, rename your gadget, please. Without wasting more time, honorable members, can we get a seconder to the mover for the adoption of the... Becky and the Honorable Mbanza, your hands are up. Unmute.
Sorry, Chair. I'm seconding Honorable Nkosi in moving the adoption of the agenda.
Thank you very much. I'm going to allow the department to table... I want to suggest, honorable members, that we allow the department to present on all three items, and then we discuss, and I believe in that we will have more time to engage on the presentations, all of them, if we got them in 4, 5, and 6. Those are the items for the department. Yeah. Are we agreeing, honorable members, that we allow the department to table the three items?
Yes, Chair.
Okay. Thank you so much. DG, are you here?
Yes, Honorable Chair.
Yes, you are
going to... I'm here, Honorable Chair.
Okay, DG. You are going to do the all the presentations for item 5 and item 6, and thereafter we are going to discuss all items, and in that way we'll have more time to discuss all the items. I will urge honorable members to take notes as the team, Derko, will be tabling their presentation. Over to you, DJ.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Having said that we should do them all, I may request permission from the Chair to allow me to invite the Chief Directorate Monitoring and Evaluation dealing with the performance and follow-ups to help me deal with that so that I can deal with the last two issues, which may not be on the PowerPoint presentation here. May I get the permission that I invite Ms. Kote to present the first one, and I'll take the last two.
Continue, DJ.
Dolores, will you please take up?
Thank you so much, Deji. Good morning, honorable members, honorable chairperson. Are we going to screen the presentation? Because I'm talking through the PowerPoint slides for the presentation.
Can the presentation be beamed? Do you have a copy, Mr. Squella, or Mr. Dineo Musala? Or can
yes.
you can beam the presentation, please?
Yes, Jefferson, I have the presentation. However, it is more better if Jacob beam it from their side, because myself and Dineo, I will be taking notes in the course of the meeting.
Allow sharing.
I've done that.
Okay, all right. You can share the presentation on the screen and then continue. Ms. Kutse?
Thank you, Chair. I won't be able to share it from my side because I'm using my phone and I don't have the presentation on my phone. I'm not so sure if somebody in the DG's office would be able to do that, because I'm using my phone currently, Chair.
Who has the presentation, DG, in your office, please? Share the presentation.
I'll try to get, I'll call somebody to come into the office to assist me quickly, as he's just doing opening remarks a bit further, because we're observing. Immediately see what we can do quickly. We didn't anticipate.
Thank you, Chair.
Can you continue with the preamble of the report?
Thank you so much, Chair. The agenda item requests us to deal with two issues. The one is on the responses on the recommendation by the Portfolio Committee after we tabled fourth quarter performance report, and also an assessment of our overall performance spending, a formal audit by the AG. So what we are doing is we submitted the report to the Portfolio Committee on the 7 recommendations that arose from our quarter 4 presentation. So what we will do is we will go through the recommendations as they are per the report. And we will then
mute your mic as you are trying to share. Mute your mic, please. Your interactions with your people there are like loud. So please mute your mic.
Thank you, Chief. Thank you so much, Chief. Then we look at recommendation 1. So when we get to the slides, we're on slide 3. The recommendation from the Portfolio Committee after we presented was to fast-track the modernization project of the ICT infrastructure and related matters to minimize the risk to the security of information and to respond to the virtual demands of the new normal as necessitated by the advent of COVID-19. So that was the recommendation from the Portfolio Committee. So the department's response and our progress on that particular matter is that we have finalized the digital...
You can also switch off your camera so that we don't see that you're on the phone. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. And so firstly, the digital strategy has been finalized where the department, with the help of the team that was appointed by the minister's task team, we finalized the digital strategy and we're developing an implementation plan, and that is in the final stages of development. We've already started to digitize some of our business processes through our Microsoft Enterprise Agreement, particularly as necessitated by COVID. We've also adopted the use of Microsoft Teams for our virtual interactions and our collaboration with our stakeholders to ensure business continuity. So that is where we currently are in terms of the modernization project, in terms of the ICT. Recommendation number 2, which was slide 4, was to investigate, there was a request from the Portfolio Committee that the department should investigate the root causes for the non-payment of service providers within the required 30 days rule. The Director General has appointed an investigation officer to undertake the investigation. The report is now in draft and it will be finalized soon for implementation. So the investigation was done and the report is currently with the DG for consideration in terms of implementation of those root causes. Recommendation number three was to expedite the coming into force of the Foreign Service Management Strategy. So what the department, I'm on slide five, for the one that has shown the presentation, we're on slide five, task team for coming into force of the Foreign Service Act. This task team is chaired by the Director General to develop these implementation measures, and the team over work streams. Slide five, please. The task teams have been established and they prepare currently the regulations, the codes and the directives. We also have a work plan with the deliverables to make sure that the Foreign Service Act can come into force and into operation by April 2021. The work streams are currently in the process of assessing the provisions as well as the existing policies and codes to identify which matters relevant to the work stream must be contained in the various measures. For example, there's one provision in the Act that we need to coordinate all international relations of South Africa, and we already have the measures and guidelines that was approved by Cabinet. So the task team will then look at the document that is already in place to see whether it needs to be converted into a regulation, a code, or a directive, or perhaps another measure. The work of this work stream is planned to be finalized by the 16th of October. They regularly give feedback to the DG, where the DDGs that heads up all the work streams come and give feedback to the DGF in terms of the progress. And this then also makes provision for the development of a property management strategy, as it is one of the clauses in the Foreign Service Act and is included in the task of one of the work streams. When we go to the next slide, which is then recommendation four, was that the Portfolio Committee requested the department that we need to review the structured bilateral mechanisms entered into the country with its counterparts to ensure that they advance national interest and address domestic imperatives. This has been incorporated in the APP for 2021, and a quarter two, we will get our first progress against that, because the target for this year is that all 139, 100% of the mechanisms will be reviewed. So when we get invited back to the Portfolio Committee to present quarter one and quarter two, then we would be able to give detailed progress on how many of those bilateral mechanisms have been reviewed and what the outcome of the review process is. Next slide, recommendation five. The Portfolio Committee requested that the department looks at candidature diplomacy as a conscious soft power strategy to get value for money and also address the needs of internships and future employment opportunities in international organizations the country is party to. Now, while South Africa has an aspiration to be represented in various international bodies, aligned and guided by the rules, procedures, and positions of the Africa Group. And the position of the Africa Group is then what we take forward. Further to that, participation in, next slide, participation in multilateral activity in general and representation in the various UN and AU bodies allows South Africa to project its normative values in process to shape the world and influencing the development of norms and standards that are taken by those international bodies. Further to that, slide five, the next slide. Further to that, in terms of the value of money proposition, it is important for us to note that the membership of a global body, it brings benefits as well as obligations. And then to run the multifaceted programs of the UN and the AU, every member state membership dues to allow it, the country, to assume its position to be part of the multilateral negotiation. South Africa's contribution and approach is that we pay our membership fees in full and on time and without precondition. This means that our South Africa's contributions are added to the global AU and UN budget from which the UN funds programs are run. Now, some of those programs may not affect South Africa directly, for example, contributions to peacekeeping and peace enforcement, but it supports South Africa's broad foreign policy goals and objectives. Further to that, the department has also undertaken work, next slide, to examine how to advance placements in terms of the secondment policy. And the secondment policy has also been taken now as part of the work of the work streams under the Foreign Service Act. Then the second class recommendation, recommendation six, it was for the department, next slide, to develop, in consultation with National Treasury, a strategy with a detailed implementation plan to find a workable solution to stay within the ceiling of compensation without compromising our service delivery. Now, the department is developing a plan to manage this budget ceiling. The draft plan was shared with National Treasury. The plan included cost-saving measures that have been implemented as follows, greatly reducing the overtime, adjusting the cost of living allowances for all transferred staff serving abroad, reducing the annual leave encashment, also the early retirement and employee-initiated severance packages. And also currently what happens is that when vacancies occur through natural attrition, they remain and become unfunded and then therefore are not filled. Next slide. Further to that, the department has also made proposals on the reduction of the number of South African missions abroad, as well as freezing, abolishing some posts in identified missions. And this implementation is taking place over the MTF. It is also, the Portfolio Committee should also note that the above measures are not currently sufficient to contain the current spending within the COE as a result of an additional budget cut, that was affected through the adjusted estimates of national expenditure. So the plan is constantly under review. It is not that we have a plan and we stick to it. So now we need to respond to this additional budget cut from the National Treasury on the compensation. Recommendation number seven, for the department to increase representability in the department of previously disadvantaged groups catering for gender mainstreaming, youth development, women and access for people with disability, The department's response currently is that due to the shortfall on the COE, posts are currently not advertised. Therefore, this limits opportunity to enhance our current employment. To increase the intake with 21 additional interns during 1920, having a total number of young people currently employed under the internship program of 79. However, 10 interns have since left the department, so we have 69 interns, and the breakdown is currently we have 45 African black female, one white female, and 23 African black males in terms of the youth representation of our internship program. Next slide. The department's work to support gender mainstreaming extends beyond the department's officials and it also includes work that we're doing in the broader domestic arena. This includes work done on the South African National Action Plan for Women, Peace and Security. Also, the department conducts two women capacity building programs on conflict resolution, negotiation and mediation annually. And the department has also adopted a policy aimed at accelerating transformation, redress with respect to the full inclusion, integration and equality of persons with disability. And the department continues to provide reasonable accommodation to employees with disabilities in order to enable them to operate annually. When we then look at the last recommendation, recommendation 8, consider as the portfolio common recommendation was for the department to consider leading the implementation and the domestication of the region's blueprint in the country, including the revised regional indicative strategic development plan from SADC. So what we find is that we have a regional indicative strategic development plan and the recently approved one for 20 to 2030. So in implementation, next slide, in implementing this regional strategy, the SADC Secretariat provided memberships with training on the online monitoring system with the ultimate goal to provide responsible officials at national level, various countries, with the necessary skill to report on the status of the implementation of the regional indicative strategic plan. Next slide. Following the training through relevant sector departments, South Africa has collected data on the achievements and the milestones relating to the respective regional indicative strategic development area of focus. The data was validated by Stats South Africa and the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation. And South Africa submitted its country's report to SADC Secretariat on the 3rd of February. The report was coordinated by the DPME, STATS-A, and the DIRCO. Next slide. The DPME as lead department responsible for... coordinating mechanism, main function, responsible for monitoring the national implementation in cooperation with DIRCO, STATS and other relevant departments. So that's the department's report on the 8 recommendations made by the portfolio committee when we presented quarter 4. The second part of the request was for the department to give an assessment of its overall performance prior to us coming to table our annual report. So all that we've done is we've given a high-level overview. The detail will be given in the annual report presentation. And due to restrictions imposed on international travel, there were delays by the AGSA in concluding the audit. The audit is currently underway, and the engagement between management and the office of the AGSA is ongoing. The audit outcome of the department is only available by the end of October. So we don't have the audit out as yet. So the summary in terms of the performance, non-financial performance of the department, here is an overall snapshot. We've only achieved 22 of the 32 targets. That's a 68% performance for this year. If we look at the reasons why, so in program 1, for example, where we have 3 not achieved, this relates to our payment of suppliers. It relates to a training program as well as 2 gender programs that we've reported in quarter three that we didn't do. And the training programs were delayed because they were due for quarter 4, but when COVID, the intervention came because early in March, DPSA issued a circular that social distancing need to maintain, and that's why those training programs didn't happen. On program 2, international relations, the 2 that we haven't achieved there are 2 with regard to economic diplomacy and its work related to our mission, mostly quarter 4 targets. Once again, can I continue? So the 2 mostly relate to our missions and
it's Ronald Lisa, yeah?
Then I will continue with program two, regional integration. Two of those targets relate to meetings that were not set by the SADC Secretariat, but we have improved our target setting that we will not follow short in a non-achievement where a secretariat doesn't set a meeting. So we've removed those targets for the new financial year. With regard to program three, two of those targets also relate to South-South cooperation. Once again, it's also targets outside the department's control. With public diplomacy, all their targets were achieved. With state protocol, the one target was an engagement with the diplomatic corps that didn't take place due to COVID, which was due quarter four. The last slide. So the analysis in terms of our low performance, the 68%, can mainly be ascribed to COVID-19. Also postponed of targets from previous quarter to the fourth quarter, and then COVID happened. Also scheduling difficulties in the fourth quarter as missions in various countries were geographically impacted by the outbreak way before the outbreak came to South Africa. And then also they were targets, as I've mentioned, that were not necessarily within Durban's control. And it didn't take place as it was cancelled, but we have improved on those target setting. Chair, with that, I end my presentation. Thank you so much, Chair, Honourable Members, DG. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Kutse. DG?
Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Chair. And I must thank Ms. Tuota for the part of the report. Just before I go to the next item, to emphasize the fact that on recommendation five, we do want to submit that indeed through DERCO, we have contributed to a placement something that will guide placement of South Africans in international organizations, we should provide a more predictable way of exercising this measure. So the placement framework was adopted, truly, that takes into account various strategies of placement of South Africans into international organization. It is now coming out as a cabinet directive, which means it will guide our processes going forward. In future, we will make use an opportunity to share the contents of that strategy, as it is a strategy that emanated, among others, from the realization that we may not have had a structured way, but in most cases, through the committee, would always have to respond to how we utilize return on investment, but equally how do we promote our national interests through that. I will then proceed with your permission, Honorable Chair, to go to the most painful and difficult part of what we will be briefing the committee about, although I must state up front that there might not be much information so far on the briefing by the department on its responses on the recommendations, on the letter written to the commission, Zondo Commission, by two officials in the department, the chief directors, Ambassador Moloi and Mr. Koso, titled The Presentation of Evidence on Fraud and Corruption in the Department. And so far, I may just indicate that yes, a letter dated 8 October, signed by the colleagues, was in addressed to the minister, conveying the writer's intention to apply to the High Court for review of the Foreign Service Act, as well as the intention to present evidence to the Judicial Commission of Inquiry into state capture, corruption, and fraud in the public sector, including organs of state. So the alleged fraud and corruption, according to the letter, of course, was around one ambassadorial appointment and two procurement processes under the ARF, and procurement of ICT equipment and hardware, the contract for removal and storage of goods, and the acquisition of office and residential property in New York. The Honorable Committee will recall that most of these matters we assist with, and the committee is still waiting for us in future to update the committee on. But for the purpose of this meeting, I may not elaborate further since to date we have not yet received anything yet from the commission. Suffice to say, the minister did acknowledge receipt of the letter addressed to her, which was copied to the DG for the intention to do so. And as we were still reeling with that, then the actual letter addressed to the commission was received. It was acknowledged. And our firm view is that once the necessary processes are kicking off in terms of the operations of the Commission of Inquiry, we will accordingly prepare ourselves to answer on those matters that will be raised with us based on the submission of these colleagues. Up to so far, I can only confirm indeed that we will be engaging on these matters as and when they evolve going forward, based on the fact that the Commission of Inquiry, of course, is governed by the Constitution and the Commissions Act, and that there is also rules governing the proceedings of the Commission, which set out how the Commission will conduct its work. So having said that, Chair and Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, I do confirm that we are aware of the submission. Of course, we were surprised that when we were still thinking that, as we have been informed of the intention, and as before we even could understand how where the commission will come in to inform us, of course it became public, and we will engage on all matters as included there, without ignoring the fact that some of the issues raised are still within our reach, and the committee will still be kept apprised of in due course. We're anticipating that this will not come sooner, as we were intending to give a full account on some those on that letter that pertain to what is currently under oversight. The only one that may be a bit dicey for us would be the challenge on the Foreign Service Act, as we believe that is an act of Parliament. We'll obviously work jointly to deal with that, but the High Court process has not yet been unfolded, and as a result, we will wait to see what will be the gist of the application pertaining to this matter, in which we may be correspondent with those who play a role in making legislation. If the Honorable Chair does allow, I'll then move on to the item on 6 relating to media reports linking one of our colleagues who is deployed to Sudan, in also another matter that has come out through the media, but which is unfortunately a part of what we assist with. If I'm allowed, can I move on to this one, Honorable Chair? Thank you. I will not, in this matter, Honorable Members, as we say, it's the truth of the matter is that there are allegations that have been made against the life partner of the acting or the chargé to Sudan, which they were handled between us and the government of Sudan. And then perhaps what one can say here is that we treat that as allegations pending further investigations. And as a department, what we only did was on getting that information through the diplomatic channels, we had to then ask that the acting ambassador, as the word is used there, the charge to come back home for consultation so that we can satisfy ourselves and then about this, because it may be something that she also has to indicate. But I must indicate that the allegation is mostly around the panda, the partner thereof, and we have referred this matter to the relevant agencies of government, since it will be a matter between them and the government of Sudan to peruse further the allegations to see if indeed there would be substance in the allegations, and as a result, new processes may unfold there. As far as we are concerned at this point in time, we can only confirm that we are collaborating with the government of Sudan to look into this matter at an investigation level. And as we all know, in our own government and in our own state and country, innocence is cannot be pronounced before everything has been, or guilty or otherwise, cannot be pronounced yet. The only dilemma is that apparently, or unfortunately, this matter has come into as a public matter now. But for the benefit of this honorable committee, I believe as and when the matter unfolds and there's milestones, we will always, when we have dealt with things internally, update what is going on here. I submit. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, DG. Can I now note hands? Are we happy with the presentation? Because I see no hands. Are we happy with all the presentations as presented by the DG and his team? Lomduga iPad here, Magan rename iGadget yakhe, and must not be allowed in this meeting if it does not rename the gadget. I see Honorable Nkosi, Honorable Bergman, Honorable Mshwe, Honorable Msane, in that order.
Thank you, Chairperson, and I would like to welcome the presentation.
Chair, I've read mine also. I don't know why it's reflecting.
Can you allow me to stay at the meeting? Thank you very much. You are only raising your hand now. In the order that I have noted the meeting earlier. Thank you.
Yes, I say I welcome the department's presentation. I thought there was going to be a presentation on the ARS, but I think that was not done. Perhaps it's an oversight on the side of the department. However, Chair, I think on these last two matters, on the allegations by the staff members and on the issue of Sudan, my suggestion would be that the department continuously brief the committee on developments in this regard, particularly because it's something that has the potential of tarnishing the country's, the department's image and the country's standing internationally. So we need a continual reporting back, and also to acknowledge that on the second one, particularly on the South Sudan issue, law enforcement agencies may be involved. However, Chair, that's a general thing that I want to raise about the department's public relations issue. I don't think that the department is responding in a proactive manner in as far as issues such as these are concerned. There are many that appear on daily news papers, both print and electronic, to which the department is not clarifying for purposes of ensuring that our policies are known and our stances are known as a country. And I think, DG, we've raised this matter before, that you are not proactive. Please ensure that you are proactive on these issues. So there are several questions that I want to ask. And as follows, on the fourth quarterly report, I note that the department has responded adequately on most of the responses the recommendations we've made. I am, however, concerned, Chairperson, about the full implementation of the audit action plan. We know now that the audit action plan has not been presented to the internal audit in its totality. So maybe the DG should enlighten us on how this slipped through their processes. The second issue is around asset management and property management. I think the response is quite good and very comprehensive. If we may have an indication of what these five work streams are and what they are responsible for. In addition, just to check, as we always do, on the readiness in terms of capacity of the department's ability to manage properties. Now, not in terms of how they are processing the enactment of the bill, but institutionally as the department, do they now have the necessary competencies, capacity and skills to manage property in terms of the act itself? I'm also concerned about mission performance against targets. We should be appraised on exactly which missions continually contribute to underperformance and maybe to negative audit outcomes, so that appropriate actions may be taken and consequences may be encouraged in relation to particularly those missions. And the fourth issue is around skills audit in the finance division. We have raised this matter several times. Internal audit has attention to us. It is still persisting, and we require that the department acts on this issue. What are the skills gaps? What actions are being taken by the department to fill, to bridge the skills gaps and to capacitate the finance department appropriately? And Chair, if allowed later, I may want to raise issues relating to internal audit, if you permit that we do so now. Thanks, Chair.
The order.
Chair, thanks very much. Just to say that in the reports, again, we have the problem that, the information is very broad and we've asked the questions. And I know that the director said that when we get the annual performance report, that it will be, that there'll be more information and more meat in it. But I'm scared that I'm going to preempt that the report is not going to have the information that we've requested. And I'm going to just prepare the team for what we've asked. And I'm going to start by asking a question in preparation for that report and help them by saying that maybe what they need to look at is those ambassadors or heads of missions that have come back from their postings. They have to have what's called an exit interview or a debrief of their time abroad. And maybe it would be helpful to this committee to actually get the pertinent points of what they've found a problem with DIRCO, and maybe the summary be brought to this committee that could assist us in our oversight. But I think the Director General has to understand, and I'm fond of the Director General, but he has to understand that he's the CFO might be the financial officer, but he's the accounting officer. And although his eyes and ears have to be abroad, and every time he comes with a letter or every time he comes with an explanation as for things that have been said or letters that have been written, unfortunately, he digs a hole for himself as well. And the problem's going to come now is that there's a lot of disgruntled people because of the new appointments that believe that they're career diplomats. The Foreign Services Bill is implemented where you won't just be able to put in people that are not qualified. There's still unqualified people that get promoted over people that are qualified for the jobs. So you've got people that are talking in the corridors. And if the Director General does not act on those people, he then puts himself in the line of fire. So by protecting them and by hiding behind clauses such as sub judice or clauses such as we'll wait for this response from the commission or we'll wait for the minister to respond or we'll wait for this and that, he's actually going to, we're actually going to have a problem with DIRCO itself. You know, we already know when I wasn't at the trip in America, but we already know some celebrities in America that have left some leased rental space in problematic in ways in which I don't think it's left South Africa with a lot of pride or its reputation intact. And I think what we have to understand is that there's going to be more and more of these letters being written. So if I was the DG, I would come to this committee more for backup than come to this committee every month with a new letter and having to explain a new letter. So I think what we need to do, DG, is I think through the chair, I think we have to open up to the committee and say these are the issues. And I think to fix the issues, this committee must help us in DIRCO by doing X, Y, and Z. And this would help fix DIRCO. These are the problems in DIRCO, and we need the committee to help us fix the problems in DIRCO. But by coming, otherwise what you're going to do is every week or every month, you're going to come to this committee with a new host of, because I can guarantee you, I know that there's a line of disgruntled ex-heads of missions that are going to line up and write you letters. And every week, this committee is going to deal with disgruntled letters rather than trying to be proactive. We're going to end up being reactive. So I think the best way to approach this, DG, is to have you coming rather to this committee and through the chair, showing us how we can assist you and DIRCO by being proactive and helping the career diplomats rather than having to come here and give an excuse every reason. Thank you very much.
Can you mute your mic, Mamu Zungu, please? Please mute your mic. Hola, okay. Next.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson. I want to join my colleagues in calling it transparency, because the reputation and image of not only the committee but also the country is at stake when staff members are disgruntled, who are unhappy, who have. I want to know the allegations that were presented by staff members at the Zondo Commission. Was the DG aware of them or not? And I'm sure that for members to take such a step and go to in public to the commission, they must have raised the issues and they were either ignored or swept under the carpet. So I want to say to the DG and his staff that for the image of the country to be held in high esteem, when they are issued, issues have to be resolved speedily, rather than frustrated people going public with them. It reflects badly, not only on him, but also on the country. And the issue of South Sudan also, the allegations are also very serious. Now we are told that investigations are taking place. I want to know, when did those investigations start? And is there a target date when they are planning to conclude them? Or do they want to allow this matter also to continue dragging and dragging for the next year or so? Is there a date that they are planning to ensure that this matter will be closed? And obviously, lastly, I would also want to agree with my colleagues about informing the committee about what is happening. We are being asked questions. And many times we cannot respond because there seems to be an unwillingness to open up. We are here to assist the department. So my request is in line with what my colleagues have said previously. Let us protect the image of the country by ensuring that if there are issues to be dealt with, they are dealt with speedily. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Mfane.
Thank you very much. I will have my video off because my bandwidth is very weak. Chairperson, thank you. And today, let's remember who Colonel Gaddafi. Today was the day that he was brutally assassinated. So as this committee, let's say, may his undying spirit live on and Africa find its mission of a united Africa with one currency, one government, and one judiciary. Moya wakhe maukhubeke ulale ngokuthula. On the report, I also noted Uguti, the department is saying that missions will be reduced. And we've been asking this question as this committee, Uguti, which missions are these? And I also want to know if they have determined these, which missions are these going to be, and how was that determination made for these missions to be reduced, according to what the Minister of Finance had said previously. But I saw in this report that they said in communicating with Treasury, there will be missions that will be reduced, shut down. Also, Chairperson, I also want to check. We requested the department as this committee because they made a submission of their project management team. I want to check, Chairperson, are we ever going to get those CVs of this project management team with their qualifications? Because the deadline that was given to the department has long passed. With regard to the issue of the staff members that have submitted to the Deputy Chief Justice, I want to check with the DG, Chairperson. Of the issues the staff members have highlighted, how many of those issues were findings previously by the Auditor General of South Africa? And of those issues that were findings, how many has the department started to remedy or rectify, since we'll only be getting the new report in October, end of October this year? So how many issues are of the AG's findings and how many have been rectified? With the issue of supply chain management, how far is the department with rectifying especially that finding? Because it seems to crop up all the time and it's becoming a serious challenge in this department. Chairperson, the issue of the ambassador, I must say that when we requested the names of people that are ambassadors, it seems the issue gets brushed off all the time. But it helps for the committee to know who is an ambassador where. We even sent a letter to the president. Hopefully we will get a response. When the committee knows who is an ambassador where, we can get to assess their image with regards, because these people are where they are to represent the country, Chairperson, to be the face and the voice of the country. So if we know who they are and where they are, it also helps. Let me give a bit of a highlight, Chairperson, of what happens with issues of ambassadorships in other countries. Chairperson, ambassadorships sometimes get sold to people. No, I'm not saying that's what's happening in South Africa, but in other countries, for you to be an ambassador, they sell that position to you. So can we also have a transparency on that regard, Chairperson, so that we can move with this thing speedily and find ways of dealing with elements of people that commit crimes in foreign countries in our name. And then, Chairperson, I want to concur with Honorable Ngosi. Our PR in this department is really very weak. When the xenophobic attacks started, we said the PR system of this department is too elite. It does not reach people everywhere. Twitter is not enough. Twitter is not enough. Radio Ubuntu is not enough. We need to be out there. We need to be public. We need to make South Africa aware what is the foreign policy of this department, so that people can understand that we have relations with SADC countries. People can understand we have relations with West Africa, East Africa. What are our relations with China? Because South Africans seem to prefer the West due to lack of knowledge conveyed by this department, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Honorable Mpanza, Honorable Swartz, can those who have spoken lower their hands so that there's no confusion? Honorable Mpanza, Honorable Swartz, you follow.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I would first of all agree with Honorable Nkosi in saying that we will really need regular updates on all these issues that the department has brought before us. And I'm covered in most of the issues, but I want to go straight to the staff and Zondo issue. What I want to find out from the department through the DG is what is the department's policy as far as the code of conduct of staff is concerned. And also, what I also want to check in line with that, have these staff members exhausted all internal avenues of raising their grievances before they go external? Because that is a normal process when you're dealing with issues of this nature. And the other issue is that if that did take place, what was the outcome of those processes? The other issue that I want to check, Chair, is that when these staff members going there, were they going there or writing to Zondo as employees of the department, or they wrote to the Zondo Commission as whistleblowers to us? Because you must know the status under which they wrote to the Zondo Commission. Chair, the other issue that I think we need to relook very seriously is this issue of the career diplomats. I think we need to relook at this matter. If one would have his way, was going to propose that we do away with this kind of arrangement. But we need to check it legally, because we don't want to propose something that will be in contravention with the Foreign Service Act. We'd rather allow with the prerogative of the president to appoint ambassadors and then leave this one, because it creates a lot of problems, as the Honorable Bergman was saying, that it's not the end of what we have seen now with these two. We are going to be lambasted and be bombarded with these and disgruntled career diplomats, which is going to create a sense of instability in the department if it's not attended and dealt with correctly. Chair, the other issue before I end is the issue of the reduction of missions. Chair, I think the department must always bear in mind what we emphasize as a committee, that if that process do take place, and it's inevitable that it cannot take place, but it must not take place at the expense of the African continent. We must try by all means to make sure that African continent does not become the victim of this exercise. I'm not saying that they cannot reduce some of the missions in Africa, but I think we need more missions in Africa than in any other continent. The last chair, I just want to check who is the department or ministry spokesperson. I really don't know her or him, but I know quite a number of spokespersons in other departments and ministries. So I joined the chorus that really that this department is really letting us down. The media section of our department, and in terms of dealing with the media issues and public relations responsibilities. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Honorable Swart.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, my comments on the report that has been given to us is that we are going to start sounding like broken records, Chair, because the property management function, Chair, must be separated from the finance function. In order to allow finance to concentrate on financial management of the whole department. After all, the two fields are not the same. Each has its own professional standards, Chair. And for me, Chair, I think that we just keep on going in circles, keep on going back. A few months ago, I asked a question which was related to a page in the APP which I quoted to the department. We requested CVs of the property management unit which we were given. And there were people there who got diplomas in event management, people who had LLBs and everything else, Chair. So if the department can truly say, Chair, why is it so difficult for them to do what we discussed in the last meeting when this same item was on the agenda? Where we even said to them that because they do not have the expertise, they must then get a PMU to assist them. So that they then set up this property management unit properly. But as long as finance is holding on to this function, Chair, we are not going to achieve anything in this department. because I don't know what are the reasons of DERCO to actually tell us that in their structure, why is finance controlling the property management unit? What is it that is so difficult for them to separate? Because there is nowhere finance fits into property management in terms of a professional standards. It can never be checked. So at least they must tell us what they've done from the last meeting where we discussed with them and notes were taken and they agreed that they will bring CVs and the works. So manje cheyabonakala nje ukuthi we come to these meetings, they take notes, we also take notes on our side, but the implementation ayikho. Maybe if the DG can tell us ukuthi yini ebhlungu kangaka ukuthi they separate these two functions, Che. Thank you.
Thank you so much, honorable members of the portfolio committee. And let me welcome also the presentation from the department. I find it very shocking that Ms. Kutse, in her presentation, she mentions that they are now on the implementation stages around the report which we required on 32 days rules, which we said it must be available in August already, which was after the recess, and that we must interrogate the report. And now, all of a sudden, jiggy, they are on the implementation stages. So I think I need an explanation as to how did that happen before that thing has is tabled to the portfolio committee as per the mandate of the portfolio committee. I hear members of the portfolio committee raising issues around the Zondo Commission submission by the staff of the department, people who are chief directors of the department, and are raising it very mildly. Where I'm seated, I'm from a school of thought that always teaches me that to embrace anarchy is wrong, and anarchy must be condemned with the contempt it deserves. And the stance by those who wrote to Zondo Commission, for me, is a clear demonstration of anarchy. Honorable Bachmann called them disgruntled. They are not disgruntled. They think they are entitled to positions of the department because they are called career diplomats, even withstanding what the constitution of this country says, and that the constitution of the country, by the way, empowers the president to do all these appointments. And that anarchy that they are displaying, it has no standing and it shall never be embraced at any point, especially by members of parliament, because that submission also, it challenges the authority of parliament and these members who are seated here, who have adopted and developed a foreign services bill, which is now an act of parliament, as approved, tabled and approved by parliament and later on signed by the president. They're taking that to court. No? So we are sitting here now, I'm sitting here listening to members of parliament trying to embrace anarchy, and anarchy shall never be embraced by people who are undermining both the authority of the president of the country and the lawmakers of this country and parliament generally as an institution. So that anarchy shall not be embraced. And I want to say, DG,
that these chief directors must be given a leave of absence so that they are able to deal with their zonal commission matters far away from the department, because you can't be a referee and a player. Because if I heard you correctly, when you're making submission in this meeting, you said these people, they sit in the management of the department, and they know things that are discussed there, and they did not even table their issues at that particular level where they are supposed to be raising their issues, or probably approach whatever organization that is there to champion the interest of workers in the department. So those people must be given leave of absence by the department so that they don't become referees and players, because conflict of interest will be at play. They're going to take this information of the department and use it to the best of their advantage when they appear in that zonal commission, and the department will be found wanting when the department is supposed to prepare its submissions to the zonal commission when the need arises. So a decisive action on this particular regard is required at DG very speedily. Honorable Ngosi, the audit team also raised the issue which was raised by the Auditor General in his findings, that a finance branch of the department has no capacity and it lacks skills. And that has been a national anthem of this department since we started in the past 110 plus days in Parliament. And we've since asked the department to ensure a consequence management on this particular issue and these issues be resolved. And to date, we are still told that there's no capacity there. So I don't know what the DG must do about that capacity, whether DG must be some kind of an institution of higher learning or provide skills to people who are unskilled. Because the issue of finances, it's not an issue of playing marbles there. It needs educated people with clear capacity, empowered by academically empowered to run the issue of the department and the finance. If there are no skills, people must be removed there, and those people must be deployed where the skills, which are synonymous to what they are supposed to be doing. So it cannot be that here DG were going to romanticize each other and not take proper decisions and ensure that the department is rescued from the quagmire we see, which has become a national anthem. That issue is an issue which is a matter of agents, and I think it would be the best if the committee gives you 2 weeks, because in the past 100 and plus days, this has been an issue and nothing has happened at all. And these are the findings of the Auditor General. And these findings of the Auditor General have not been implemented. We don't know why they have not been implemented. Probably the department must address us as to why are these findings of the Auditor General not implementable, because seemingly they are not implementable. That's why you are not, or you have not implemented them. So on the issue of the career diplomats, I want to agree also with Honorable Ngosi, because they think that they are entitled to positions in the department, and even forgetting that there's a state president here that has authority and prerogative on the appointments of who must represent the country abroad in general. They are not entitled. That sense of entitlement, it has to cease to exist in their minds. And by the way, in my view and in my opinion, DG, the department must do away with career diplomas. The sooner we do that, the better. And I think the department can only be liberated once we take that decisive action. So I'm going to allow the department to respond on the questions raised by the honorable members. Honorable Msane is making a very serious statement about the ambassadorship, which is sold in some parts in the world. And that statement generally suggests, implies that she is suspicious. That might be the case. So I want to suggest that if Honorable Msane is able to substantiate this issue so that we don't allow a situation where the department is acting on rumors. We must substantiate that so that the department is able to respond on fundamental issues with substance and issues that are there instead of suspicion and what we think and what we feel. So if that kind of an information is there, it must be brought forward so that the department is able to deal with these issues, investigate where necessary. And in fact, the person that will be better positioned to deal with this and investigate such can only be the president, because the president is the one that appoints ambassadors, and this matter must be directed to the president rather, not to the department, because the department does not appoint ambassadors, so that ambassadors are able to sell whatever ambassadorship position, because the department is not appointing ambassadors. So the department can respond on what was raised by honorable members.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. My colleagues will come in where they may and where the issues are direct. I'll go to those that I think I must take them as they are. Honorable Nkosi referred to the fact that the DG to enlighten the committee. About, I believe he was talking about the audit committee. He said internal audit. Regarding the implementation of the audit action plan, I must admit to the committee that as far as we could do, we have had an audit action plan that was discussed between management and the audit committee. And I've seen the reference to the fact that after we revised in accordance with the input, we did not take it back. While this could be an oversight or omission, it doesn't take away the fact that when the audit committee has made recommendations, by the way, their role is to support the accounting officer by recommending actions that will strengthen the internal control environment, then the implementation will remain there. We have since discussed with them after that to explain ourselves that an audit action plan is a living document, because it is dealing with what was and what is and what should be. But we will see when the outcome comes, and we will be judged in against what we said we'll do, particularly on those matters that led to our qualification, how far we have tried, whether we would have done implemented the actions that we have put there. Coupled with this, Honorable Ngozi referred to the work streams, probably that was relating to our response on the property management strategy part of the same. I must indicate we established a task team, as we said here. The purpose is to look at specialist areas and ensure that each area contributes so that whatever comes out of there beefs up all elements in the act, including this one of acquiring the role of managing properties in line with the act. So a reference was made to the capacity to undertake property management. This is tied to the other matter of saying, are we having appropriately qualified people to embark upon that? We did acknowledge then that, yes, we have been doing property management within the mandate that we had, but in view of this responsibility, we will definitely beef up in accordance with the requirements that are related to this area. And then in line with that, I must submit, I don't know, I'll check with our colleagues. We did submit the list of qualifications some time back. Because of lockdown, I don't know. We'll check that, but I'm very sure that we did that. And I must indicate to the committee still that we take the committee seriously, and some of the fruits of doing that we are seeing, because the culture of making sure that we look back at what was said and what should be done is there. It might not have been quite impressive at the beginning, but we will look at that and see whether there is no evidence of that. There could be some areas coming from the past that we did not adequately attend to, because sometimes in dealing with the current, you are having yourself dealing with what is before you, and then without necessarily ignoring what happened, but making sure that you sequence it, and we'll try to illustrate that in future. The issue of skills audit, as raised by the audit committee and auditor general, is something that is a bone of contention. We did do a skills audit based on the requirements of the DPSA, and most definitely the audit committee members were not fully satisfied with that. And as this is a regulated area, we acknowledge that if we are to assess the competencies or the competencies of the finance function as it is, we will welcome any ideas that will assist to do that. We do have a report on the skills audit, and it was not necessarily the audit committee was not very happy with that. But we indicated how we implemented, or rather undertaken that in line with the applicable regulatory framework, but we are open to making improvements without necessarily sticking to what is in the rule book. But we will also check whether we will not find evidence of pockets of competence here and there. I'm not going to be able to respond adequately to the schools of thought that came here regarding whether disgruntlement of people or otherwise, as honorable members have gone very deep into it. Suffice to say, indeed, there are procedures in government which are clearly spelled out, and most of which are collective agreements, one of which is grievance management, grievance rules. There are those that, as citizens, people may be exercising their rights to deal with. And coupled with this, I must indicate that I even submitted to the committee earlier that some of these areas that are down there are indeed part of what are within the oversight purview of the committee. And as a result, there is work in progress about them. They've appeared in the Auditor General's report. And I might indicate, and maybe let me indicate as well, that one of the honorable members asked why we do not say about the ARF, because my understanding is that the committee really has considered our view in the past that we separate the two. And our understanding is that we are presenting on the ARF tomorrow, same time. And one of the issues raised in the letters and which demands attention, we may deal much with it tomorrow, when the ARF is being is presenting. So I would acknowledge that those other areas that are listed down in the letter are exactly the same as those that are well known and that have been raised and which we are seized with. Regarding the investigation into the root causes or into the non-adherence, if I may call it, to the 30-day payment cycle, we were requested to do that, and we have done just that, to investigate. And the investigating officer has picked up some of the other systemic and human error elements, but because it is still within the internal processes, we may not have been able to elaborate here. But suffice to say, we did have challenges, of course, and usually we don't want to give most excuses, but the person who is an internal auditor who we appointed at the time, because we thought she will be able to understand this better, was unfortunately during that time delayed by infection, which she overcame, and she did a very good work, and we will be able to share some of the, or not in the things that could assist the committee's oversight work in future, while at the same time dealing with those root causes. Yes, it is true that there could be disgruntled people, but also we and I must indicate that, yes, the colleagues, one of the colleagues has in meetings always raised his concern about the act. And we have always explained why we would be the wrong institution to deal with whatever may be perceived as the flaws of the act. And we agreed that, we allowed that. Should it be necessary, the necessary recourse may be looked into. But where we are sitting with an act that was duly passed by Parliament and assented to by President. And when it is challenged, we'll have to, everyone who is will be cited there will deal with it. And I will not elaborate on the matter yet on the how the appointment could be regarded as the way it has been presented to the Zondo Commission. And I must acknowledge that the chair did look at this element, and there's a balance between what was referred and what we should be doing. On transparency, as honorable members say, we can be as transparent as possible, but there is also an obligation that in transparency, everyone should know where one's role and one area of operation is, and still be able to utilize whatever avenue is there. It is. I must confirm that when before the letter was issued, written there, we were copied that there is an intention, and we duly acknowledged. And I must indicate that before we could understand what could happen, and in fact we were even trying to meet, then the letter to the commission was already out, and therefore everything we had to respect the processes in that manner. We will definitely, and I must confirm that through the committee's oversight work, it has improved our management practices, and therefore, together with the leadership of the executive, we are finding ourselves maturing into a direction that as we move on, as the committee builds its legacy, so we will be matching that improvement, so that come the time of a proper assessment and evaluation, we can tell whether that was not done much deeper than it was. We will definitely, we wish that, and in fact, we have been missing the committee in the last month or so, but we're still there to account, there to brief the committee and do. The matter of I don't know what I skipped here. As I said, on the ambassadorship, I think it was adequately covered. So when it comes to decisiveness, which the Honorable Chair has emphasized about its urgency, indeed, this is a tall order that has always been given to us to look at. We appreciate the fact that the committee, through its oversight, is able to point at all those matters that can help us to improve, and I believe we'll do so. If our report was lacking in some details for any reason, because this was a follow-up, we will go back to our drawing board and look at what is to be done there in that matter. As we said, the Sudan matter is a matter that, as it is in the public domain, we may not at this point in time be able to express ourselves better in the manner we would have wanted to. Suffice to say, indeed, the committee was right in trying to find out actually what is this matter about. And I did confirm that there's these allegations, and then this the investigation where we were asked the date and whatever it may be relating to that is that it is in the purview of the law enforcement agencies. Indeed, what we read in the papers is exactly what is written as a form of communication from the government of Sudan. We just don't know how it was said exactly as it is, but it will be both sides looking at this matter and dealing with it. And then we as the department, our role will mostly to coordinate whatever that may be needed for us as a country. We believe in rule of law. We believe in justice being dispensed in a very acceptable manner, as that's the context in which we say we will cooperate, but we'll also ensure that what is alleged is proven, and when it is proven, we will never shy away from being of assistance. There was a frequent reference to our communication that we as a department are not doing much to inform the populace. I'm going to even allow one of the DDGs to comment on that and respond, but we're taking note of the understanding that the committee has of what we should be dealing with is really reasonable, and we understand that sometimes things happen in such a manner that in the last week we've been really at odds with what was in the media, and there could have been a view about whether where we are, etc. But here, maybe I'll really would like the DDG responsible for public diplomacy to have a comment, while I'm also inviting the colleagues on matters that I may have skipped in my submission now. And we'll then, if there is anything that can come back, when I check my notes, I will do so. May I request that, may I seek the indulgence of the chair to allow if my colleagues, all the DDGs I believe are here, and other important role players in what we have raised are here, so that they can also find a way to brief this honorable committee. If that is allowed, may I defer to the colleagues one by one to look at what may be outstanding.
Mr. Monyela, your hand is up. Can you be the first on the DDGs too?
Yes, thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Firstly, let me appreciate the leadership of the committee in the manner in which the discussions are unfolding. To just add on to what the Director General was saying, in fact, we have been very deliberate in the public diplomacy strategy on how to communicate our country's foreign policy based on the understanding that there's long been a perception that foreign policy is a bit elitist. In fact, we wanted to demystify this and simplify it and take foreign policy to the people. And this is why, honorable members, South Africa is unique in having a program that takes foreign policy to the people, what is in our country called Izimbizo, public participation programs. You will not find this in other regions of the world, including on the African continent. It's only South Africa's Foreign Affairs, DERCO department that does this. We do it to the effect that it's even in our APP, it's a target. We put a number of triple Ps that we have to do, and we spread them throughout the province in an attempt to deal with what honorable members have raised, that you can't just communicate on social media, traditionally on radio or television or through newspapers. You have to go down to the grassroots and explain the country's foreign policies, its posture, its objectives, how you relate to the region, to the continent, and other countries in the world, and how the work that is done by diplomats translates into improving the life of the ordinary man in the street. So you connect the dots between the mandate of the department, the footprint that we have in the world, the work that is done by diplomats, and how that goes directly into improving the lives of South Africans. So that's what we do. We go to every province, we meet with communities in community halls, and speak to them in their own languages in an attempt to take foreign policy to the people. That's number one. Number two, what we've also done, honorable members and chair, is that we've got a weekly program which is exclusively on community radio, because you would understand that in our daily work, public service stations, your SABC stations and commercial broadcasters reach out to us for regular interviews, but community media is often neglected. So what we do is we package, highlight every week of the work that would have been done by the department globally, the highlights and what we've achieved. We then package that for broadcast on community radio in the languages that are spoken in communities. We introduced this at the beginning of this year in January. Of course, with regards to the triple P's, COVID-19 would have changed somewhat how we've conducted this program since March, since the lockdown. But prior to the lockdown, honorable members, I'm sure, would have been aware that we've been to communities throughout provinces. Now, this is in addition, of course, to the ordinary work of communicating daily on the traditional way of communicating on radio, television, radio, newspapers, as well as writing regular opinion pieces. In fact, South Africa is currently rated number one on the use of digital media on the African continent, and in the world, 51, which then, and this is work done by peer reviewers, it's not us who are rating ourselves to be number one. This speaks to how we are using the platforms of social media, the website, radio, television, and so on and so forth. So we think that there is always a room for improvement in this work, but we're trying to make sure that no one is left behind, because our target is both the domestic and the international audience. What I also will say, honorable members, is that we've taken the comments and we'll make sure that areas where we can improve, we do that. I would have thought that the last campaign that we're involved in as a department, being the repatriation of South Africans who were stranded abroad during the lockdown, would have reminded people in terms of who the spokespeople are. The minister has a spokesperson who is assisted by me in terms of dealing with media inquiries. So, I mean, with the repatriations, we're on radio and television on a daily basis. I mean, we've covered all stations, practically doing more than 10 interviews on a daily basis. So I would have thought that that would make people, the people responsible for speaking quite visible. That's not the only campaign; it's ongoing work. So, Chair, I thought I must just mention that the comments are noted, and areas where there is room for improvement, we'll definitely endeavour to do that. Thank you very much.
Is there anyone from your team who wants to add on your responses?
Dolores, CFO,
Any other there? Ambassador Joini? Please raise a hand so that can be recognized. I see CFO's hand up.
CFO?
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson, and good afternoon, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, and good afternoon, DG. I just want to reiterate DG's comment on the audit, that indeed, Chairperson, we have done our best in order to change the situation that has been not good in terms of the audit outcome. So we will appreciate that in 2 weeks' time, we will then have the outcome of the audit, which then clearly indicate whether there was improvement or not in the work that we have done. So I just want to say we've done our part in terms of the work that the committee has entrusted us in resolving issues that were a problem in terms of the audit. So by the in 2 weeks' time, we should be in a position, Chairperson, Honorable Chair, to able to comment on the outcome of the audit. Thank you very much.
Is that the only person, DG, that is responding from your team, the CFO?
It looks like, Honorable Chair, if there is something we may have omitted, it seems there is only one. Yeah, there is no one who's showing here.
On the 30 days, Kutse, Ms. Kutse.
She was the 60 days as indicated, the progress report is the investigation was completed and the report is currently with the Director General for looking at the findings in order to see what implementation plan needs to be required to address the root causes.
Okay.
There seems to be no further unless it can be pointed to us. I'm just trying to go through my notes here.
There is no other responses from the department. They've responded. I'm going to release the department if there is no further questions from the honorable members, so that we are able to deal with the minutes of our meeting. Comrade, your Honorable Bachman, I see your hand is up.
Chair, thanks. Just before you do, if I could just say, the questions were answered, but I just wanted to make it clear that from my side, I don't have a problem with the Foreign Services Bill. I agree with it because I worked on it as well. I agree with most of what you're saying. It's the career politicians, there's a divide that's coming up, and it's a danger that this committee is going to have to deal with. And I think it's something that we're going to have to task the department with and our committee with, because I think it's going to be an us versus them. And I think there's place for both. You know, I think that it is the president's prerogative to select heads of mission. And it's always been a tradition in this parliament since 1994 and beyond. But I think what we have to understand, and I think it might be an exercise, if you'd humor me, please, Chair, that I think that the department could show us, is I know that in 2006 there was a cultural survey done of the internal culture of DIRCO, and I know that that never really saw the light of day. But that brought about a lot about, you know, what we're discussing now. There's also, if we looked at analysis between the levels of abuse that take place at the heads of mission, but from heads of missions and their local recruited personnel or the employees, you see that there is a concern that takes place, that people are worried or concerned about working for certain people. And I think what the Foreign Services Bill is going to address that. But there's almost a sense that there's a negative connotation to people that are the career diplomats are on, well, shall I say, the people that are being given political appointees are getting a blanket reputation, and the people that are career diplomats don't have that reputation. And I think it's up to us to assist by sorting out those types of reputation. And I think the only way to do that is by looking at the facts and not just the blanket presentations. And that was my point that I was getting at, Chair.
Thank you so much, Honorable Bachmann. Honorable Nkosi.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The matters I want to raise relate to internal audit, and we'll just check with you if we raise them today or we should defer them to when the department presents the annual report. Otherwise, I'm ready to raise them with the department.
Honorable Ngosi, let's deal with that when we are dealing with the quarterly report of the department, or probably the presentation on the ARF tomorrow will afford us that particular opportunity, because today we have no space to do that. I want to also, Honorable Nkosi, if we agree tomorrow, let's see if we'll be able to deal with those issues. Are you fine with that? Honorable Bachmann, I think it will be important that we hold our ordinary meeting as the portfolio committee to reflect on a number of issues, not only the one of the career diplomats, and make a proper suggestions and recommendations to the department. You know what, when it comes to the legal processes of appointing the ambassadors in this country, there is nothing called career diplomats that is stipulated in the constitution that must be appointed and what have you. So the careers which people have there at the department, for sure they were employed by the department. The issue of the appointments is another issue on its own, and there's a thin line between employment and a deployment by the president. Probably some of these things through the minister, we must refer them to the president of the country and deal with what we are to deal with as the portfolio committee. However, in that ordinary portfolio committee of members only, without the department or oversight responsibilities, will be able to engage each other, agree to disagree on some of the issues which we've been discussing over time since we were members of this portfolio committee. So I want to thank the department for always availing themselves when they are required to come and report to the portfolio committee. It's not like we are thanking the fish for swimming. It's just a form of appreciation that you always ready to table your reports, even if they are half sometimes and we are not satisfied as the portfolio committee. The fact that you are all here in numbers. Also welcome Honorable Mwela. And Bonilungenile meeting, in hoping that Mr. Sikwela has noted your presence in the meeting, because your apology also was registered. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Stalo.
Team Derko, honorable members, you can remain so that we deal with the minutes of our previous meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you, honorable chair and committee.
Mr. Skwela.
Oh, good afternoon, Chair.
Are these people who are remaining behind supposed to be in this meeting?
No, Chairperson, it's only members and the committee support staff, Chair.
Who are these other people?
Okay, let me check, Chairperson.
Remove them. Remove those who are not supposed to be here. Please.
Siphelele, Chair.
Okay. Can you please dim the minutes? How many sets of minutes that we're supposed to deal with?
It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, Chair.
6? 7,
Chair. 7? Chair. Or can we break it in half, Chair? Do all some this, today. And do
all those minutes were supposed to be done tomorrow, isn't it? Because our meeting is going to be short tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
So why did you bring them today?
No, Chair. I made a mistake to include the last item in the agenda as consideration and adoption, Chair. I meant to put it for tomorrow, Chair.
Can we do 3 today and then 4 tomorrow? Because honorable members must prepare for the house as well. And they must have a lunch break before they could go to the sitting. Can we do 4?
Or 3 today and 4 tomorrow, Chair.
3 today, 4 tomorrow. Is that in order, honorable members?
Accepted. Yes,
okay. Okay, honorable members, those are the minutes beamed. Page 1, Mr. Skwela. Yes, on introduction, honorable members, which is on page 2. Any comments?
No.
Page 3? Comments?
I feel like it's Libya.
What's happening? What's happening? Page 4. Next page, Mr. Square. Next page. Can we move for the adoption of the minutes? Honorable Ngozi, your hands are big there on the screen. Raise them here on the system.
I move for adoption, sir.
Can we get a second up? DP? Okay. Honorable Msane, what are you saying?
Then second, Chair.
Okay, thank you.
I said then, Chair.
Because Msane is seconding, now you must say something also.
Where is he coming from? As a
significant influence on you, I'm worried. Very significant. Next set of minutes.
18 March, Chair.
Ola is the future, Chair.
Now I'm the immediate and your future next. That's the problem.
This is Jerusalem.
It's a John Bulikate, this one, not a... Beam the minutes, Mr. Squela, what's happening?
Yes, sir, this is the 18th of March, Chair.
Yes. Mr. Squela, beam the minutes, don't fully gate.
Oh, I thought I beamed them, Chair.
There's no minutes here on the screen. We're waiting for you, that's why we're not proceeding.
Is it not showing now, Chair?
There's an introduction, we don't know who was here, and you know, people are sensitive with the spelling of their surnames.
Oh, my apologies, Chair. We are on the 18th of March, Chair.
Yeah, next page. Can we get a capital letter X on Kola Ngola, please? Go back to X while you're on the same way. I'm going to show
you. Yeah, I told you, Sasa.
Thank you, Chair.
There's page 3, honorable members. Any issue there? Page 4. Honorable members, there's page 4 in front of you. Page 5. Next page, Mr. Squash.
Yes, sir. We are on page 5, sir.
Yes. Move. Page 6. Page 7. Page 8. Can we move for the adoption of the minutes, honorable member? Seemingly, we are agreeing with the minutes. They are a true reflection of what was discussed. Honorable Msane?
Hi. Ulu Babalo, did he send these minutes to us?
Look, Mr. Squela, can you respond?
Chair, I think in August, Chair, we had meant to adopt these minutes, but the meeting adjourned earlier before we could proceed to adoption, Chair. Chair, I was going to resend them today for tomorrow, but I didn't want to bombard members with many contributions.
Chairperson?
Yes?
These minutes were rejected, not that they were not adopted. They were rejected because the committee highlighted issues that were missing. So my reason for asking, have we received them? Unless Ulubabalo can highlight if he made the changes to the rejections that were made.
Aye, the minutes were deferred back. They were not rejected. They were deferred back for correction. So now we are adopting them because corrections are made. That's why you don't see anything wrong now on the minute.
The way I scroll on a corner, I'm not sure.
Yeah, we are in Ukwele Express.
The Gautrain.
I get we are not talking, you guys. Can we move for the adoption of the minutes? Sane, can you go by last corner for meeting?
I move for the adoption.
Can you get a second? Thank you, Honorable Mola. Can you get a second?
Second chair by Mbanza.
Thank you, Whip. You must lower your hands when you're done speaking so that there's no confusion in the meeting. You are intimidating me with your hands.
It's done, Chair.
August. That's the last set of minutes.
Yes, Chairperson.
Yeah, so do honorable members have those minutes? 26th August, edited. Yeah, those are the minutes which were deferred back. So I think on this set, do what Honorable Msane was asking. Highlight the areas in which you edited so that you are able to move fast. Beam the minutes and highlight those areas quickly.
No, Chair. These ones in particular, Chair, were not submitted. They are the ones of the meeting at which the minutes were deferred, Chair.
But uthini ke uqhawusithi uthini?
No, Chair, as members as abangazifumani, Chairperson.
Beam the minutes.
Nazi, Chairperson, it's 26.
Azikho nje esikrinini. Wena uvese uthi nazi zingekho esikrinini. There are no minutes here. Yeah, azikafiki, azikafiki tu kuthiwa portfolio committee on international relations. Clicka Fagus.
Ziabona Garache.
Tu Tololo. Boni Kesa ne Nendo Zako up. Honorable members, can I suggest that the minutes be sent to you, the new ones, so that we deal with them tomorrow when you have perused the minutes, because so many pages, this is 4 pages.
It's 4 pages, sir.
And it's what now? Oh, okay. It's before one. Okay. Let's do page one. And then you send all other sets of minutes to honorable members immediately after the meeting so that they peruse the minutes with the reports and the presentations of the department. Page two. The introduction. Is there anything there? Page three. Honorable Msane, are you catching the Gautrain?
I'm with you, Chair.
Okay. Next page. Which is the last page? Next page. There any issues on these minutes, honorable members? Honorable Mzani, Honorable Beckman, Honorable Kosi, Honorable Mpanza, Honorable Ngola Mwela, Swart, Honorable Reverend Mshwe, is there any issue? Honorable Mulder?
No, we are fine. I'm fine, Chair.
Honorable Mpanza, your hand is up.
I'm fine, Chair. I'm fine, Chair.
Honorable Ngozi?
I'm fine and moving for adoption, Chair.
Chair?
Can you get a second, huh?
Chair?
Honorable Mzani?
Can you please move to the first page?
Page one?
Yeah, colleagues. Okay, no, it's fine. I move, Chair. I second.
Yes. And they're clean. Okay, honorable members, that was the last set of the adoption of the minutes. The other set of minutes will be emailed to you so that you peruse, and tomorrow you come much prepared. To discuss the new sets of minutes. We have to deal with these ones because we defer them back for editing. Without wasting time, honorable members, thank you very much for always availing yourselves for our meetings, honorable members. We are going to meet now in the house sitting at 2. Honorable members will have enough time to prepare for the house meeting, relax a bit and have lunch and enjoy your lunch, honorable members. Thank you very much for your contribution.
So you're taking us out 10% for lunch, ne?
Virtually, yes, virtually. And the meeting is adjourned.
Our president, Batum.
Thank you, Chair. DP, you were not finding good cutting, almost figure late, no more close this.